Hello, everyone. Welcome to Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil. We are the official Monster Jam podcast. I'm Scott Jordan, and this week we have some great guests on. They are the hottest team in Monster Jam with six trucks competing along three series. And for that, we go to the Great Clips hotline to welcome in from Minneapolis, Mike Christensen, and to welcome in from Utah, Paul Jensen. This is Team Throttle Monster. Gentlemen, welcome to Inside Monster Jam. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, man. Thanks for having us. We're proud and privileged to be here.
Let's go back to the origins of what would become Team Throttle Monster, which was Craig Christensen's Team KCM. And Mike, we'll start with you. Growing up with your dad as a player in the industry, what are your memories of being a part of Monster Trucks and Monster Jam at an early age?
It was kind of a family event. Both my parents, my mom and my dad, drove Monster Trucks and traveled all over the country. And been before I was the age of like 12, I've been to like 38 states. And when my oldest brother Casey was good friends with Paul, he would hang out with us at at the house or at the shop or whatnot, and they thought it was a good idea to have the parents meet. And as soon as they met, rest is kind of history, and I don't think me and Paul have ever turned away from Monster Trucks ever since.
So Paul, did you know anything about Monster Trucks before you became part of the family, or was it something that you were introduced to when your mom met Mike's dad?
I don't think I'd ever been to a Monster Truck show before I, met Casey and Craig. And probably one of my first memories is, Jim Creighton. He was living with Craig at the time, and he was actually Casey and I's babysitter there for a while. So
Jim Creighton was your babysitter?
Too well.
All right.
He wasn't a very good babysitter, but the first show I went to was really memorable to me because it was at an outdoor speedway in Hawthorne, Nevada, and about halfway through the show, Craig ran into a light pole and knocked the power out of the whole building, and everybody's cheering and screaming, and I'm like, wow, this guy just knocked the power out of the whole facility, and everybody's happy about it. I got to be a part of this industry.
Was there ever any pressure on either one of you to be a part of it and start driving, or was it something that just came naturally for you?
I don't know if there was ever pressure. I think it was more like he knew we were going to do it because we didn't have like your normal childhood summer times. We never, hung out with friends or, have a TV schedule of all the, junk TV to watch. Throughout the day, it was you were up at 8 o'clock in the morning and you were heading to the shop. And if it was a Thursday, you were already packed and heading to the show. So I don't think it was ever a, he wanted us to do it. It was we were going to do it type of situation.
So Craig starts the team, but there were also pit stops for him along the way with other teams, with Max D, and you mentioned Jimmy Creighton. So let's talk a little bit about that. You end up, Mike, driving for Jimmy as well, and then, Paul, you said he was your babysitter. I can't imagine, being babysat by Jimmy Creighton, but what was the experience like working for Jim?
Jim was actually everybody's babysitter. We used to call him Jim Bomb-a-Ramadan. That was his nickname when he was watching us back at the house. Working for Jim, the guy's a very smart guy. He's really intelligent. He knows exactly what he wants and what he's doing. The cool thing about Jim is he's very hard to get along with. And I think that's why I did so well with him, is because we're both so hard-headed. We both want things a certain way. And I was never worried about getting yelled at by Jim. I mean, getting yelled at by your, 15-year-old babysitter is no big deal to me at that point, so there was a lot of good times. There was a lot of bad. That's the nature of every business and every job, and nothing too awful bad. It's just long hours and a lot of stupid work. And it's just, he did teach me a lot. There's a lot of things that guy knows that I didn't even think about when it comes to Monster Trucks, but, I'm glad I got to do it because it's started to push me into the direction of, me running my own team and doing my own things. There's a little bit of Craig, a little bit of Jim that I've blended together to kind of create what Throttle Monsters is.
Well, Jim is very passionate, and I think a lot of people that don't know him very well, you know, confuse his passion for, you know, temper, hardheadedness. But Jim is a legend in the sport, 2-time World Finals champion. So I think to learn from him ultimately would help you evolve into your own team, and we will get to that next. Up next on Inside Monster Jam, we talk about the formation of Team Throttle Monster into what it is now, which is a superpower. All that and more right after this on Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil. Welcome back to Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil. I'm joined this week by Team Throttle Monsters, Paul Jensen and Mike Christensen. We talked about the beginning of Team KCM. Now let's talk about the beginning of Team Throttle Monster. Paul, when did you and Mike start talking about putting together your own team?
So I think it was probably about 5 years ago. I had one truck at the time, and Mike, I think he just came back from working for Jim Creighton. He came back to Utah. He didn't want to be a mailman anymore. So we started talking, and he said, you know, that he would like to have his own identity and his own truck. And so we built a second truck, and, you know, like you said, the rest is history.
So what does the process entail as far as building your own trucks? Did you have aspirations to build a lot? Was it just you start with one and then move forward? How did the team come together? Was there any sponsorship involved at all?
I never planned on owning a monster truck in the first place, but it just kind of ended up that way. I helped finish the first truck that I had. Craig started building it, and I finished it. And then as time went on, I ended up buying his portion out of that truck. And so once you have one, why not have two? And then we went to three and four, and, you know, now we're to six. We've had a lot of sponsors along the way that have helped us. You know, Redline Oil is one of them. You know, Brodix and Cali's and Safety Clean, and, you know, every little bit helps. You know, we've signed on with Renegade Fuels this year, same fuel supplier as Monster Jam, and, you know, they've been great. It's, you know, a lot of people don't realize with independents, if we don't have a fuel sponsor, somebody lining out the logistics of that, you know, we're driving around a semi every weekend trying to find methanol to power our trucks.
And Mike, you're still on the roads. You mentioned, Paul said you didn't want to be a metal guy anymore, but you're still active on the circuit, driving and crewing as well with your own team. So what is that like for you, not only running this team with Paul, but also still actively competing?
I mean, there's days that I don't go to bed until 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. During the week, just trying to get, you know, my other teams lined out and make sure they got all the stuff that they need and make sure logistics of parts and whatever Dalton decides to rip out of the dinosaur this week that I can turn around and get back to him, or, you know, too tall doing the same stuff. It's a lot. It's thankfully I have my wife come out a lot on the road. I kind of have her handle some things while I got my brain turning of what's the next thing that I can, you know, create and put on a pallet and send to him. I do shovel a lot onto Paul while I'm out here, so he can handle a lot of the stuff back at the shop where, you know, if we got spare parts that have to get on a pallet and get shipped out, I mean, he's the guy that's there that's going to have to do it, because I can't from Minneapolis or Orlando or Detroit or wherever I'm at on the road. So it takes a lot, but, you know, it was never the plan to go to six. It was always a 2-truck thing that me and Paul were wanting to do together. And then, I think each year it's like, well, man, this was kind of easy. Let's do this, man. This was kind of easy. Let's do this. All right. Well, here we are 6 trucks later. I look like I'm 55 and I'm only 35, but we're still here alive and doing it.
Paul, you stepped away from driving full-time this season. Are you running the day-to-day ops back in your shop in Utah?
Yeah, you know, I thought it would be a lot less work to come back here to the shop. And, you know, I had a bunch of things going on with my construction company, so I kind of had to take a little bit of time off. But the trucks have kept me very busy. Seems like every weekend there's something new, whether it's a motor or, you know, somebody cleans the rear end out of their truck or whatever it might be, and I'm trying to FedEx parts and, you know, coordinate with Mike and get all that put together. So
how often are you able to get the trucks back into your shop?
Oh,
Tootall's team.
That's it, yeah.
Every couple of weeks.
Yeah. Up next, we're going to talk about the reemergence of one of the most popular trucks in Monster Jam history, Jurassic Attack. That's next on Inside Monster Jam. Welcome back to Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil. I'm Scott Jordan. This week, I'm joined by Team Throttle Monsters, Paul Jensen and Mike Christensen. Right now, we're going to talk about the reemergence and the return of one of the most popular trucks in the early 2000s. And back in 2011 in Salt Lake City, Jurassic Attack made its grand debut back into Monster Jam after nearly a decade on the sidelines. Let's talk about how that came to be. I know the legendary owner, founder of that truck, Don Frankish, was involved in this. So how did Jurassic Attack end up coming back to Monster Jam?
So Mike and I were sitting down one day, you know, we always had aspirations of, you know, coming back to Monster Jam full time. And that was kind of our goal as we, you know, stepped up the ladder. And we were thinking one night, what would be like the, if we could bring a truck back that hasn't been running, what would be the coolest one there was? And I remember from driving back in the early 2000s, you know, Jurassic Attack was like the most awesome truck out. You know, Lindsey Wink was driving it, and you know, it ran at the top of, you know, the top level of the sport. And so I said, Mike was like, yeah, you should hit up Don and see what, you know, see what he says. So after about a year of negotiations on Facebook Messenger, he finally let us bring back the Jurassic Attack, and he helped us with the, you know, the new body style and paint job on that truck. He wanted kind of a robotic type look, and so we went with that. And you know, a couple 3 years later, we decided it's time to just purchase the whole trademark instead of leasing it, and we accomplished that goal this year.
Usually I use Facebook to buy, you know, used couches and things like that. You actually purchased a monster truck, a classic historic monster truck, on Facebook. That's crazy.
Yeah it really is. You know, Don, he was not wanting to let that truck go to anybody that was, you know, running it as a B truck, as we call it, or, you know, he wanted it to be running in Monster Jam. And I think that, you know, leasing that truck in the first place kind of gave us that extra foot in the door to get back into Monster Jam. So it's been a good thing for our team.
Fans got a taste of it in Steel Titans 2. Jurassic Attack was a part of the content that was brought out when that game came released. So that started getting the fans really excited. Then when you guys bring the truck back, I mean, the internet nearly broke in the monster truck community. Mike, did you expect it to have as big an impact amongst the fans as it did?
I never expected it to be as big as it was. I mean, I think a lot of people were excited for, you know, the truck to be in the video game. And then it just blew up even bigger the moment that it came to fruition there in Salt Lake City. And it, you know, like Paul said, it was such a cool thing to create such an iconic name back in the, you know, early 99s. And it's a truck we always enjoyed hanging out with, you know, driving with, going to shows with. And I mean, it couldn't have found a better home than us taking over it.
Well, let's talk about the trucks that you do have competing right now. You have Vendetta, which Mike, you drive, and the Blue Velociraptor on Stadium Championship Series Red, which is driven by Travis Mowry. You have Dalton Widener driving Jurassic Attack with Hunter Souza and Earthshaker on Arena Championship Series East, and David Olford with Velociraptor and Bailey Shea with Monster Mutt on Arena Championship Series West. Let's talk about Bailey Shea, because she made her comeback in Monster Jam, and you guys were responsible for that after a few years on the independent circuit. What went into Bailey coming back to drive for you?
Honestly, I did Kansas City in June. We ran with Bailey in on a other tour, and you know, we always got along, always hung out, got very friendly, just, you know, like she was just a good friend of ours. And she obviously lives in Kansas City. I was there in the summertime doing a stadium show there, and she came over, hung out for the day. We had her boy Huck come hang out with us on practice. And she kind of made a comment about, you know, if she drove for a different team, how it would work out. And my wife kind of picked up on it. And so me and my wife started talking about it. And then it's like, well, you know, that's actually not a bad idea. Like, let's bring a woman in, onto our team and just have that, you know, that dynamic of different type of, you know, drivers that we can offer. And talked to Paul about it. And I think it was within a month, we then decided to bring her on and have her represent Rockwell Red for the rest of the year, just to kind of, you know, give her that little bit of Monster Jam arena taste back into her, so she could come out first quarter and, you know, come out swinging.
So you don't have Kamikaze running right now. You don't have Rockwell Red running currently on a series. So you have multiple IPs to go along with your chassis. What happened with the partnership with Rockwell Red? How did that come about to give you guys a great IP in the Rockwell Red truck?
You know, I met Rich several years ago, Rich Eggett, the owner of Rockwell Watches. And, you know, over the years, we've kind of got together and, you know, tried figuring out different things we could do together. And, you know, we always had kind of three main things that were our goal. You know, is it good? Is it fun? And can we eventually make a couple dollars, you know, doing something fun? So we've been, you know, we teamed up, we've done a couple of local shows together here in Utah, and, you know, they supply the guys with all their backpacks and gear and sunglasses and watches and all that sort of thing. And it's just really cool having, you know, Rockwell on board. And we came up with the Rockwell Red truck. That was Rich's idea. Rockwell Red, the red stands for Remember Everyone Deployed and Dedicated. So that's kind of our tribute, you know, as our partnership to all those military, police, fire, paramedics, that sort of thing.
I saw the Jurassic Attack watch on Instagram. I commented on it. My birthday is next month, and my seven-year-old asked me what I wanted for my birthday. Usually I say something Star Wars. This year I told her I want the Rockwell Red Jurassic Attack watch in any color. So it's going to be a hot ticket item for my 45th birthday. Let's talk about Travis Mowry a little bit. He comes over from Darren Miguez's team, and now you have both he and his wife Kaylin on your team as well. Travis has really been tearing it up in Velociraptor this year. How did Travis end up driving for you guys last year?
You know, I actually needed a fill-in driver in a show in Madison, Wisconsin, I believe. And he was there just helping Darren and Kaylin. There was no plan on having him actually drive. And the guy that I had lined up just didn't quite work out. And we still had two shows left. So I was like, hey, dude, you're here. You got your gear. Just drive Paul's truck around. Just make a couple hits, make some noise, and just bring this thing back to the trailer. Well, he did the exact opposite of that and pretty much burned down the arena that we are in. It's like, okay, you have the driving ability and the attitude that we're after. That's what we do. Well, you know, we're into doing stupid stuff. So you kind of fit the realm of Team Throttle Monster. Needed another fill-in guy. I think Zach couldn't make it to a show in Denver in November and flew Trav out, and we called it the Throttle Monster World Finals because we had all six of our trucks there, and every single driver acted like it was the last show that we were doing. And I think we had different winners each day, and, you know, Travis came in, and, I mean, he did a phenomenal job. So seemed to work out pretty well for us, and it helped last year that he was on the tour with his wife, and so they could still tour around together and just kind of go opposite ways once it came time to suit up.
Now he's killing it for you guys. And speaking of killing it, Team Throttle Monster's doing that. We'll have more with Mike and Paul when Inside Monster Jam returns. Welcome back to Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil. I'm joined on the Great Clips Hotline by Team Throttle Monsters, Paul Jensen and Mike Christensen. We talked about you guys having six trucks, but I know there's some more aspirations. And Mike, I believe you have some breaking news. Is that right?
Yeah, for some weird reason, we decided that we were going to make our lives even more miserable, and we decided to tackle on two more trucks. So Team Throttle Monster is going to expand to eight trucks. We did purchase the Hurricane Force truck from Tim Mente.
Wow.
It's going to basically be identical to my truck and Dalton's truck, which is an Eddie Mica chassis, and we had, I think we ordered two more Eddie Mica chassis from Eddie. Zach Jensen's going to get or build himself a brand new truck, and we are going to replace the chassis that Hunter Souza is currently driving. So by this time next year, 2024, we should have 8 top of the line trucks just ready to compete on tour and try to dominate.
Well, hopefully your wives don't hate you too much going into next year with that. That's a big undertaking. I know you guys could do it. You also mentioned that you, Travis, the reason you like Travis so much is because he likes to do stupid stuff. You guys like to do stupid stuff. Well, listen, I like to do stupid stuff. And when I retire from the booth, I'm going to come knocking at your door in Utah for, you know, maybe a spot on your team. So that's awesome, man. Congratulations on that announcement. Looking forward to seeing more trucks. Speaking of your trucks, Mike, you had a huge freestyle win in Houston, your first career stadium freestyle win. Talk about that moment, what it meant to you.
You know, I'm strapped in the truck. I'm getting ready to watch Trav go, and everybody in front of him, you know, broke early, rolled over, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I was like, man, this guy has, like, perfect opportunity. No one's flipped yet. He's going fourth. Like, it'd be great. And he goes out there. He has a strong run. He flips, over-rotates, rolls over. You know, and he got a good score. It was a 9-2 something, and then Camden Murphy was next, and I have no idea what that guy was going to pull out of his hat, because it's always wild and crazy. And, you know, it's just, it's phenomenal to watch Camden come into the sport, and he kills it every week. And so at that point, when I saw him, you know, crash early, I was like, well, crap, now I got the golden opportunity. All right, well, let's see what this does. And kind of wanted to fulfill my time, you know, make sure I had enough time in regular time until bonus. And, you know, took a little bit of risks, and then once my wife came over the headset and she's like, hey, it's 20 seconds, you know, or 30 seconds. So I drove right to the backflip ramp, and that was probably the cleanest, most perfectest backflip I've ever done in my life. When I landed and I realized I was on all fours and it moved backwards in reverse, I was like, oh man, game on. I'm gonna find the biggest thing and just send it to the moon. And I can hear my wife yelling at me. I can't repeat what she said to me, but she told me to find the biggest hill and go and jump it. And so that's exactly what I did.
And you did it, man. You pulled it off. You got a great win. Congratulations. And congratulations to you both on what you're building there with Team Throttle Monster. For more information, go to teamthrottlemonster.com. That is all the time we have. Paul, Mike, thanks so much for joining me on Inside Monster Jam. And as for you folks, I will see you right here next time from the Monster Jam studios with more Inside Monster Jam powered by Lucas Oil.